Good morning, everyone. It's always, always, always great to see everyone out and assembled together as the Lord's church on the first day of the week, just like Christians did way, way, way back in the first century, starting in the book of Acts. Well, a few days ago on Thursday, the Giants won the National League Championship. Good stuff, all right? Beat the Cardinals 6-3. And so now they're headed to Kansas City to play the Royals in the World Series starting this Tuesday. So it looks like Bible class on Tuesday night's going to have a TV in there. But anyway, let me ask you though, who won the game on Thursday? Was it the pitcher though? Was it Mad Bum? You know? Was it the cleanup hitter, Ishikawa? Was it the coaches? Was it the owner? Who won again? The team, you know, that's the power of one. That is the power of one. You see, while as individuals we all have many gifts and talents and abilities, working together we can do so much more as one, united as a team for the Lord. And that is the power of one. One body, the Church of Christ. And it's this idea of one that goes all the way back, really, to the beginning of our Bibles in the book of Genesis. And, you know, you can turn there and follow along if you will. We're going to be in Genesis a little bit this morning, move around a bit. And we talked some about the oneness of God last week and how in Genesis 1, 1 and 2, we see both God and the Holy Spirit there in the creation. And how in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we see that the Son was there also. And that all shows us that while there is one God and He is one, there are different aspects of our one God. But in all of this, the Bible teaches us that the Lord our God, the Lord is one, Deuteronomy 6, 4. And along the way, God created man. He created Adam. And God said in Genesis 2:18, if you're in 1, you can just turn over there if you want, follow along. In 2:18, He said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And in verses 21 and 22, just going on down, that's just what God did. He made a helpmeet. God made a counterpart. God made Eve for Adam. And in verse 24, we see that this is the design that God made for us, that He made a man and a woman to be together. God did not make us to be alone. He made us to be united with one spouse. Verse 24 reads, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." And here we see a union, don't we? A oneness that is designed by God for a man and a woman. Now, there are some who do choose to remain single. And you might be able to accomplish a lot in your lifetime being single, like the Apostle Paul was able to do. So there's nothing wrong with being single, okay? But the design that we see here for a man and a woman is for the man and the woman to be one, to be a team, not to go at it solo, you see. You can't go solo at it in a marriage. It's not a marriage, you see. That's a solo. And thinking about Adam and Eve, we come to see that marriage is, of course, a team effort then, isn't it? And so in raising a family, well, that's also a team effort, which means that when a married couple functions as a couple, when they function as one, when they're coupled together as one, that's when we can say with confidence that their marriage is good. But when their union starts to fall apart, when their oneness begins to divide, then, you know, we see that the kids don't show respect and the family's filled with strife and life just keeps to seem to be throwing problems at you. The truth is that the problems never really do stop. But we tend to notice them more when we are not united like we should be, because someone has gone ahead and slacked on their responsibilities, or someone has overstepped their boundaries. But in a united family, in a united marriage, we could see the power of one. We could see the power of their unity, because in their unity, we see a oneness of purpose and goals. Think about it. We can't go off in all different directions and expect to be one in our families. You can't get in a car and decide you want to go in all these different directions. Your car will fall apart. It just doesn't work that way. It has to go in one direction. Jesus himself said in Matthew 12, 25, that every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. Unity is important. It's important to see the oneness of God and the oneness that God meant for man to have. Because in that unity, we can do so much more together. We can do things like the Harvest Festival this Saturday. Now, I'm thinking again about marriage. The church is the bride of Christ. We talked about that a few weeks ago, it seems to me. And this is an illustration that we can only properly understand because of how God has defined marriage for us back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 again. And so just like a couple is to be one, we in the body of Christ, we're to be one both individually and as a body, as his church. So how does that work? Well, go ahead and turn on over to the New Testament now and turn on over to the book of Galatians. And again, we're going to spend some time over in this particular area of our Bibles and not jump all that ways away. So go on over to Galatians, and we're going to look at some passages in Galatians and Ephesians and some in 1 Corinthians and Romans. So again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, letter of the Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then there's Galatians. I'm singing that little song in my head, you know. Let's take a little look at a couple of verses in chapter 3 that Jeff mentioned this morning. And we want to just look at them and notice something that we sometimes don't always see here. Again, starting in verse 26 of chapter 3, we'll go through 28. There Paul writes, "You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And that's that part there at the end is the part that I want us to see. Because, you know, we see that we need faith, and we see that we need to be baptized. But look at that last part there again, you know. He says you're all one in Christ Jesus. He says, you know, you might look different. You might come from different backgrounds. You might be different genders and have different skin color. But when you're baptized into Christ, when you become a Christian, when you're added to the body of Christ, the church of Christ, you become one. You become one. You become a part of the greater whole, the body. You become one. And as one, the church, again, can do so much more than just one. Because like a good baseball team, again, we work as one. We work and function as a body. We work and function as a team. Of course, there's always going to be different personalities on a team. There's always going to be some who are more passive and some who are a little bit more aggressive. And those who are always prone to do, and those who are more prone to not do. You know, but working together as one, as a team for the Lord, well, that's what we're called to do, because team members are not out for themselves. Just like the old saying goes again, there's no I in team. We're out for the whole, not ourselves. And that means that whatever gift, talent, or ability that someone might have, it is used for the team. It is used for God's team, for each other in the body of Christ, for the church of Christ. Now, if you're still in Galatians, if you just go ahead and flip over forward one book to Ephesians and take a careful note of what Ephesians 4:16 says. There Paul writes, saying this about the one church. He says that it's from him, and that's from Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Just think about that. You see, again, there are a lot of implications here, right? One being that as we, as the whole body of Christ, as we do the work that we're gifted to do in the body, in the Lord's church, as we do our individual parts again as the whole, we grow, don't we? And we build up the Lord's church in love. But of course, the opposite's also true, isn't it? You know, because if there are those in the Lord's church who have been gifted in some fashion to benefit the kingdom of God, but somehow they've chosen not to use what God has given them, well, then the body suffers because they're not benefited by what they have to offer. And I know that no one wants the church to suffer. It's always good to do the best that you can do for the body. So let's take the rest of our time this morning and talk about the body. Talk about the one. Talk about the power that we have as one. About the strength that comes in our unity as a body of believers. About working together as one. About being a team player, if you will, in the churches of Christ. And we could do that with a little help of an acronym. An acronym to help us to remember the oneness of God's team and how that team is meant to work. And so for an acronym, let's go ahead and borrow the word team. T-E-A-M. And from the word team, let's remember that together, everyone, accomplishes ministry, including our guy back on the media. He'll get me later. So he already got me. And so the power of our unity is shown when we work together. Teamwork means together. Teamwork means together. There we go. So if you're still in Ephesians, go ahead back two chapters, to chapter 2. And let's read Ephesians 2:19 verses 2:19 through 22. That's Ephesians 2:19 through 22. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now think about the building talked about here in Ephesians 2. As God's people, we are his family. We are his household. We are his body, and Jesus is the base of all that we do. And the teachings of the apostles and the prophets, well, they help to keep us united as a family, as one body, as his holy temple, the Church of Christ. And we can't do that really individually by ourselves. Think about it. The Lord's church is a body, you know, and it ends up being crippled, disabled, handicapped, impaired, disadvantaged, and all those possibly other politically incorrect words that I just used, okay? If it doesn't work together like God intended it for it to work, you see, we end up being that way. The body ends up being not able to work properly. You know, there are times when a team doesn't play as good as they should. You could see it in sports, right? And no one would ever admit that about their own team, you know? But when a team does have a bad day, you know, someone usually says something like, well, you know, they just couldn't get it together. And that said, you know, it's true though, isn't it? An effective and successful team works best when they work together, when they've got it together, when they're working toward a common goal together. And as God's team working together as one, there needs to be a desire, you know, and a destination and a determination to help us reach our goal. Remember Jesus' prayer back in John 17, and we mentioned that last week, where the desire for Jesus is that we as his people be one, that we be united together in him and in his word and in his love. So John In John 17, Jesus prays this in verses 21 through 23. He says, he prays that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me. And our unity, and our togetherness as a part of God's team, his body, the Church of Christ, is shown as we work together and as we worship together, pressing on until we go to Christ or Christ comes back to us, like Hebrews 10:25 reminds us, right? Let us not keep up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another, the scripture says, right? And why? Because the day is approaching, right? All the more as the day is approaching, keep encouraging one another because Jesus will come. If you didn't grab a copy of the sermon notes, take a little look at the back later, at the little thing I've got there for you. But anyway, you see, in being a part of God's team, God desires that we live and work together for the common good of his body, for the common good of the church, right? Of his church, of his team. The power of our unity is shown when we work together. The power of our unity is also shown when everyone gets involved and gets credit. Teamwork means everyone. Teamwork means everyone. Think about it. In the world of sports, when a player hits a home run, or maybe he runs for a touchdown, depending upon your sport, or maybe shoots a basket to win the game, don't you like it when they say it was a team effort, you know? And why again? Because out there in the field or the court, depending again upon your game, there's either 8, 10, or 4 other players on the team, and it took every player to win that team. Defense, offense, whatever, okay? It's there, the person calling the plays. It's kind of like if someone walks in and they're taught the gospel that Jesus died for our sins and rose to life again so that we might be free of our sin and free from the guilt and the shame that go along with it, and that they can live with him now and in heaven, you know? And so then they respond to the gospel by being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of their sins, and they're saved. Now, who did that? Was it me? Was it Kent? I don't know. Was it little George who walked by? Well, we all did, right? We're all a part of it. It's a team effort, you see. God does it ultimately, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 comes to mind where Paul says that, you know, after all, what is Apollos? He's talking about all these different preachers that were there and the evangelism that's going on, how some people are claiming different preachers as their leader. But he says, well, what after all is all these guys? What about Apollos? What about Paul, he says, speaking of himself? We're only servants. They're only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned each to his task. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. He says, we work together, you see, to help reach out and to share the gospel. You see, none of us would be here today without the other. And none of us would be here without God, really. Give glory to God. I love it when those team players thank God, don't you? Amen. So here at our congregation, you know, when you think about it, we all help to pay the bills a little bit, some maybe more than others. And someone helps and encourages someone else. Someone might be more gifted in that area maybe than others. Someone helps by inviting people to studies or to the assembly, and someone maybe helps by cleaning the building. And I know we have someone that does that, but maybe someone else helps them, or maybe we as individuals actually see something and we pick it up when we need to, you know. Someone just helps by living their faith. Someone helps just by being here. We talked about this a little bit yesterday at the men's breakfast, about how your example is an example to others, even when you don't think so. Just your presence. Someone notices you when you're here, when you're not here, you know. Think about it. We need a growing sense of needing everyone. I once told someone who hadn't been regularly attending that you may not need us, but we need you. And that's true. We need each other for encouragement. It's my understanding that your big toe, the hallux or the digitus primus pedis, my Latin's good, I don't know. Sounds like something for the roadrunner, you know, the digitus primus pedis. It's the most important part of your, it's the most important toe when it comes to your balance. You know, just imagine if we lost the use of our big toe, okay? Or maybe worse yet, you lost it completely. Okay? You know what happens, you know, kind of when your foot falls asleep and you try to get up to walk, you can't do it so well, you know. Well, that's how it is when we're missing a member of the Lord's church. Everyone is important. We feel that and we wobble a bit sometimes and we have to get back on our feet and it's difficult. If you're still in 1 Corinthians, move over to chapter 12 and let's look at verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 24 through 27. There the Bible says that God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no divisions in the body. Think about that toe again, you know. But that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. It's that team member again going, hey, it was a team effort. It's that team member again going, hey, God gets the glory because God combined us together, you see. You see, every Christian here is in this together. And we all have different positions to play on God's team. Like he says elsewhere, right? Not everybody is an eye or a hand or anything. That'd be a pretty funny looking body, right? But you see, God combines us as we all have different skills and abilities, but we need to use them, you see. It's not so that one person is above another or anything, or so a person's below another. You see, everyone in Christ makes up the body of Christ with the skills and the blessings that they have received from God for use in God's kingdom. We all together make up his church, his team. Another passage that speaks some to this is over Romans chapter 12. You're in Corinthians, you could just back up. This is Romans 12, verses 4 through 8. And there Paul is speaking about living holy and pleasing lives before God. And when it comes to everyone doing their part, he writes that just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. Don't hold him back. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. You see, everyone has different gifts. And these are just some things. And of course, there are some gifts that are no longer available to us by the Holy Spirit. But everyone has different gifts given to us by God. We all have different talents that God has blessed us with and different skill sets that God has blessed us with in order to be used for the benefit of the church, of the team. Again, you know, Ephesians 4:16. So together, everyone is a part of God's team. The power of our unity is also shown when the church accomplishes what God wants us to do. Teamwork means accomplishment. It means that we accomplish. Now, this is something for us to think about. What is it that we want to accomplish as God's team? When sitting down and talking with Randy and Carol, when we were doing some initial plans for the Harvest Festival, we talked about, oh, it'd be great if we did this, it'd be great if we did that. But it all came back to, well, how does that fit into God's plan? How does that show we're a church? How does that show we're Christians, you see? How is that going to fit into all this? Got to come back to that. You got to come back to that. We definitely want to bring glory to God in all that we do. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And we definitely want to be able to share the gospel with the whole world, starting with our families and expanding next door, like Acts 1:8 tells us that we should. And that's also what Jesus commanded us to do in Matthew 28:19-20. So we want to be able to do that now and especially this Saturday in ways that maybe we haven't before. Subtle, maybe direct ways, depending upon the situation. So as God's team, we should want to accomplish all that and more, right? Over in Ephesians 3, and you can flip back over there if you like, there's a passage, I believe, that summarizes what the Apostle Paul was told to accomplish. And really, his desire to accomplish these things can be our desire too. And this is Ephesians 3, 8-12. There Paul writes, although I'm the least of all God's people, although I'm less than the least of God's all people, that's pretty least, less. Although I am less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I just want to take a look back at verse 9. Here Paul says that he is to accomplish making plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. In other words, he is to accomplish the sharing of the gospel of Christ plainly to those around him. And then in verse 10, Paul writes that we as the church are to accomplish the sharing of the gospel of Christ, the manifold wisdom of God. You see, being on God's team, we all together, everyone, can accomplish what God wants us to do in our own way that God has blessed us with. I know that sometimes sounds a bit easier than what it sometimes is, you know, but we've got to try. Now think about it. God isn't going to have us do something that he knows that we can't do. And there are many ways that we can do what God wants us to accomplish. There's still just one gospel, though. But the great thing about all this is that we aren't supposed to do it alone. You know, when we look at this sometimes, we think, well, I can't do that. It's like, well, you don't have to do that by yourself. You know, we aren't supposed to do it alone. We're supposed to do it as one. You see, God made us to be a body, not a body, okay? So if you ever get that thinking in your head, you know, I can't do that, well then, okay, then we can do that. You know, get a buddy. Find someone to help you. We're here. We're a body, you know? We have each other for support and for encouragement in order to accomplish what God wants us to do. Finally, the power of our unity is also shown in the ministry of the church, in the ministry of the church that happens. Teamwork means ministry. Now, if you're still in Ephesians 3, you could just sort of move your finger over to Ephesians 4. And there, in reflection of Psalm 68:18, Paul writes this about Jesus, starting in verse 11. He says that it was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, the verse that I want us to focus on is verse 12 here. The King James Version, if you have one, I know Ken Gehring has one. His verse is going to say, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. Okay. for the edifying of the body of Christ. The difference in the wording there is simply how the word diakonia is translated. And simply put, it's a service or a ministry involving service. Okay. Now, either way, what we're talking about here is how evangelists and pastors and teachers are meant to prepare everyone on God's team for works of service or ministry. So one of the tasks of our pastors, our elders, is to do just that. And one of my tasks as the evangelist is to do that, you know. And everyone here is a Bible teacher, really, is to do that. And we don't just think about adult Bible class teachers, but little kid teachers too, you know. I mean, we need to think of as the little ones we have as a preacher growing up, or as an elder growing up, or as a deacon growing up, you see. Or maybe a missionary. You know, that interest sparks early. We need to do that, you see. We're all meant to help to prepare one another for works of service or ministry. Now, ministry here seems to me means everything involving ministry. And practically for us today, that's a lot of stuff, you know. It could be writing cards of encouragement or phoning folks or visiting folks, sick, shut-ins, lost. It means putting together books in the back. It means helping out with Moms or Us or whatever thing we've got going on, the Harvest Festival, you know, or cleaning the yard work and, you know, the building or preparing communion in the back, maybe when Jim can't, or to help bring it out or something, helping to put the bulletin together that Vicky does or sometimes I do, and maybe if you'd like to help out with that, let us know, you know, or maybe it's collecting the trays in the front, bringing them. It's all service, okay? It's all service. We all need to be training one another to do these things, to help things to happen here. Most importantly, to help train each other on how to share the gospel. It's any service, really, that we render unto God's glory. So, God is one. And man is meant to be one. And the church of Christ is meant to be one. And when we are one, when we function as one, there is power that comes from that unity. Things like the Harvest Festival can happen, because it can't happen with one person, but can happen with one body. It comes from working together as one, as a team player in the church, because again, we all together accomplish ministry. Together we can make it happen. Of course, in order to practice good teamwork, we need to be on the team, you know? And the Lord's team is always accepting new team players. And, you know, you don't need to have an agent or a great resume, or you just need a willing heart, you see. Because we all know that God knows that we all have our faults. We all sin, Romans 3:23. But thanks be to God, we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus, Romans 3:24. And anyone can join the Lord's team. All someone has to do is acknowledge Jesus as Lord, confess that. You know, he's the head coach, after all. It's his team, right? So we need to confess that Jesus is Lord. He's the one calling the shots. Then upon our confession, be immersed in the watery grave of baptism. And just like Jesus was buried and raised, Romans 6 says, you know, that when we are baptized, we go through a death, burial, and resurrection of our own, coming up out of the waters of baptism, born again, to walk in newness of life. That's Romans 6:4. You could do that today. Join the team. So if there's anyone here this morning who wants to become a Christian, or maybe there's some other need that we might be able to help out with as a loving congregation, I'd like to encourage you to come forward now as together we stand and sing the song that Quentin has selected.